We continue, amen, and we will continue and continue and continue and continue. Amen. Hallelujah. We will never stop talking about this great, glorious salvation. I've got good news for you this morning. No matter what's happening in your life, what problems you're encountering, what challenges you may be facing, amen. Everything is rosy. Everything is great. My Lord. In the final analysis of manifestation, amen, the realization of what, amen, was actualized in eternity will bring forth the understanding and testimony to you that God loved you from the beginning and He has taken care of you from the beginning. Amen. And so along the way, you may stumble, you may fall, amen, in the human essence of who we are and what humanity and depravity does to us may seem like there are things that are going against us. In the end, we know that all things from the beginning has always worked for us.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Yes.
But you only get this from our gospel.
That's it. Yep.
You must look into the eternal essence of existence and see the workings of God.
Glory.
This is what our gospel does for us. So that as you go through the problems and the problematic troubles of life, amen, you're happy every day. You can say rejoice, you can be happy. You can be happy when you're sick, when you're broke. Amen. You can be happy with a loved one that passed. You can be happy. Amen. And your body is racking with pain. Amen. Even if you get the so-called bad news of the big C, you know, the big C of, amen, cancer. No matter what's going on in life, amen, you're always happy. Amen. You're always, amen, looking at the positive aspect of the eternal picture.
Yes, sir.
Whatever is going on now, it is passing.
Huh?
It's passing.
Yes.
Amen. We're just passing through. We're passing through time. Amen. Oh, in a capsule. But we're in eternity.
Yes.
But God, amen, has certainly, amen, taken care of everything that you can think of. You're safe. You're secure from all alarms. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Our welfare, amen, is completely provided for us. All the provisions of anything that you will ever need, amen, in the essence of eternity, amen, it is realized in knowing, oh, my God, that He loved me from the beginning before He ever created me. Oh, my God, it was by design. And I'm a child of mercy and a child of grace. Y'all don't hear me this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Now let's go to Titus. We'll read that real fast. Of course, yes, I'm going through the same. We start off with the same. There's no such thing as, you know, we've gone through Titus so many times, we don't need to go through it anymore.
No,
that doesn't work that way.
Amen.
Amen. We need to have it indelibly impressed into our hearts and minds as to who we are and how we got to be who we are. Amen. All right, Titus chapter 3. My deacon, for the sake of time this morning, is it Elder Liverman? All right, Elder Liverman. For the elder, go to verses 4, 5, 6, and basically we'll touch there, read from the King James, then we will read it from the interlineal Greek, and then we'll move on to the application of what salvation entails and how scripturally we must look at the terms repenting and believing, which means that you should take out that document, the scripture application of repenting and believing. Amen, and utilize that. Hopefully, if you don't have yours, hopefully there are some in the bank. All right, let us turn to Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Everyone has it. Say amen. All right. On to read. Verses 4, 5, and 6, as I've said, from the King James and then from the Greek in the millennium.
Titus chapter 3, beginning with the 4th verse. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
All right, now let's go to the interlineal. Those of you that have it, and those that don't have it, listen intently. There is a difference in the reading, which means that we're going to get some greater insight from that which is conveyed in these writings. All right, beginning with verse 4, Titus chapter 3. Everyone that has Greek interlinear Bible, say amen.
Amen.
All right, read.
Titus chapter 3, beginning with the 4th verse, Greek text. But when the kindness and the love to man appeared of the Savior of us, God, not by works in righteousness.
See, there's one difference already. Keep reading.
Which we did. But according to the of him mercy, he saved us through washing of regeneration.
Through washing regeneration.
And renewal spirit.
And renewal Holy Spirit.
Which he shed on us richly through Jesus
Again,
Christ.
I'll always make this point. The verb that is azacleen, amen, it is a past completed fact. It is that which must be seen in the eternal sphere. And that word basically means poured. And again, though, if someone is pour something on you, they've got control of it. We have the essence of it being done to us. So
Amen.
He saved us. We didn't save ourselves. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Amen. And he did it. He poured it on us. How?
Through Jesus Christ.
Richly. Amen. Hallelujah.
Through Jesus Christ. The Savior of us.
Our Savior. Now, while we continue to beat the same horse and deal with salvation, the essence of salvation, it is from the understanding of salvation that we approach life. Whatever you think about salvation translates down into your life. This is why God's people are so mixed up. Amen. If you don't get salvation straight, there's no way you're going to get life straight. Whatever problems you have with understanding salvation, it's going to translate down to your comprehension of things concerning life. On the other hand, if you ever come to the knowledge of understanding, amen, the intricacies of salvation. And this is why we take so much time and we talk about, amen, the election and adoption and, amen, perpetuation, and talk about regeneration of that which we have been discoursing here, justification, and we deal with, yes, the Asians, amen. These are the mechanics of salvation. What God did in eternity in establishing the nature of God in you and placing you as sons in the body of Christ. Lord. Amen. There is no subject on the agenda that is more important than understanding this.
Right.
If you ever get this down into your spirits, amen, inculcated there, amen, indelibly etched into your mindsets and to your heart.
Glory.
Amen. When things seem to start falling apart, Amen. You have something to stand on. Amen. Something to stand in. Oh, my God. Something to counter the doubts and the fears and the uncertainties of life. Amen. Each day as we go through and we turn on the news medias, we find there's trouble in the land. There's trouble in the camp. There are problems. Amen. Enough, amen, to really depress you unless you know this and understand this. That which will bring, amen, extreme fear, trepidation. Amen. But we don't have to, amen, become out in relationship to those things that we hear. They don't have to create the doubt and the fear, the anxiety, the uncertainty. Amen. Our daily life doesn't have to be all, amen, wrapped and tied into these things. And so we're not into turmoil. We're not into these things, amen, that make life such a dread and a dreadful thing. But in understanding the essence of who we are in Christ, it transcends, oh no, the problems and the situations as they, amen, are presented and manifested a concomitant with a depraved environment, which these things have been designed and there's no way around them. Amen. But oh, God, amen, has given us the insight this morning that we don't have to view things from the horizontal plane. But we can, amen, go up into the essence of the vantage point of where the Word of God, our gospel, has taken us, that we can see things as God has actually, oh my God, has actually outlaid and brought to bear, amen, those things. And He has placed us in a most favorable position. You are thoroughly, completely, absolutely provided for in all things. Not some things, all things.
Glory to God.
Oh, my God.
Hallelujah.
And looking at the essence of salvation, and again, the way it has been presented, and of course, it is presented out of every part of the Bible. And of course, there is salvation in every dispensation, for God has certainly elected men out of every dispensation. But we must understand that the languages that are in these various these various parts of the Bible, as we read, amen, in Genesis, and you have the basically the first three dispensations, innocence, conscious, and human government conveyed there. And then you go into the essence of the law in Exodus, and you see all the way through the end of what is designated the Old Testament to the end of Malachi. And you see unto what traditionally is designated the New Testament, beginning in Matthew and Mark and Luke. Amen. But when we come to understand the divisions, the proper divisions of the Bible, and we separate the grace covenant from the new covenant, amen, then we know that that which is given to us informative is from the grace covenant. Amen. Those writings that that gives information concerning salvation basically from the mystery aspect of that which was revealed to the Apostle Paul. And so we have this superior volume of truth, amen, that is given to us in this time for this dispensation that takes us back not just to the beginning of time, but into the essence of eternity. Oh my God, hallelujah. When God is moving and God is bringing about his purpose and plan, amen, as they are actualized in his decree. And from this we're able to understand that salvation is not, amen, some hit and miss entity. Salvation is it's not which is conveyed on the basis of chance. Chance happenings. Salvation is not accidental. Neither is it incidental. Amen. Oh my God. Salvation is by design. Amen. Salvation has targets. And the targets are God's elect. We are the elect of God. Amen. Chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Amen. And so, amen, your salvation is a predisposed, a predetermined event that has already happened. Amen. Waiting for manifestation of the day that you come to realize it. Oh, my God.
Thank God. Glory to God.
We had given to you and been going through the scripture application of repenting and believing.
Glory.
We're here this morning, amen, to continue to meditate against the way it has been presented to us. Amen. Now, rightfully so, when you go into the other areas of the Bible, you go into the Old Testament, it looks like it's something that is done sometimes as a reward. It looks like it's something that is done that maybe man had some input into it, into the law. It seems as though there are conditions to it. Amen. Of something that you must do or you must bring to the table. And in the kingdom, even though it is taken off the tables and written into the hearts of men, in the new covenant of Jeremiah 31, and as it is taught and it is explained, and as it is brought into the messages of the first part of the so-called New Testament, amen, which is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it seems as though there are conditions on it and there's something that is required of you to bring it about. And so that's the way it's been taught.
Yeah.
Amen. And so when we get on to our gospel, they're twisting words and twisting terms. Amen. Because our gospel gives a different picture of it. Amen. Our gospel teaches us that it is all God and none us. Salvation is 100% God and 0% you. Salvation is 100% dependent upon God and 0% dependent upon you and I. Amen. And so this is what we come to this morning is to, amen, to set forth, amen, a dissertation to basically say what the scriptures have said all along. And that is that it is the essence of God's eternal work genes that is the driving force of who you are in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And repenting and believing, and this is what is being taught, that you must do this and you must do that. You know, and any time we are into the picture and any time we become a part of the equation, amen, things become a little shaky, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Huh? Because if that thing is dependent upon you doing something or you accomplishing something and you keeping something, amen, it's shaky. Huh? But that's not, our gospel doesn't even talk like that. When you get to the grace covenant, it's not even saying that. Amen. It's basically saying that you don't have a part into it, except it is something that is being done to you. And this is why we see the passive voice and these conveyances, which, amen, that testifies that this is something that is being done to you, that which you are not a part of. Last week we had moved into, and I want you to turn, Elder and everyone, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 16. Amen. There are times that what is given to us is, oh my God, what is given to us in Acts is that Paul, amen, in his ministry taught free will. And I just don't see. You won't even go into Acts and find free will. Huh? No. Amen. And when it is properly divided, when it is properly exegeted, amen, and properly understood, amen, it is not speaking of a man making a decision, quote, a decision for Christ. We stand this morning and we take, amen, an exception, a great exception to those that teach free will. Those that teach free choice. That you placed into the body of Christ on the basis of some decisions that you have made. Amen. Now, as we look at this, let's go to Acts chapter 16. Just very quickly, I want to run back through this. I think we touched on it last week, and at least we did in the perfecting class. If we didn't in here, we're going to go back again here in the 16th chapter, and we see, amen, in Paul and Silas, it's in prison. You know, we all know the story. Amen. And the essence of the workings there. Amen. And how there was an earthquake that came and it shook the house. It shook the prison. And amen. All of the doors were opened. The locks were with their bands or their shackles. That which was constraining them was all loosed. And of course, I've seen preachers come and they preach and they bring the house down. Amen. Speaking about what happened, but they don't get down to the best part and the essence of why it happened. Amen. And the essence of salvation being revealed, amen, to the one who was in charge of the keeper of the prison. The keeper of the prison, he awoke out of his sleep in verse 27, and he saw that the doors were open. Everybody follow me, Acts chapter 16, amen. And he took out his sword, and he would have committed suicide. He would have killed himself because it would be deemed better than the death that was awaiting him for having, amen, failed to keep the prisoners. Amen. And in verse 28, Paul cries out and says, hey, man, don't do anything to yourself. We haven't gone anywhere. Amen. And then in verse 29, he called for light, came in trembling, amen, and fell down before Paul and Silas. Amen. This was all design. Amen. God designed this. Amen. There are some that said it was because of what happened that the jail keeper or the prison keeper believed. Amen. And it is taught that way. Amen. And we're taught that if we do certain things, we'll cause people to be saved. You can't cause anybody to be saved. You didn't cause yourself to be saved. How are you going to cause somebody else to say? If we do certain things, people will get saved. Amen. No. This was planned. Amen. And in verse 30, say, brought them out, says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now, Elder, I want you to start in verse 30 from the interlineal.
Acts chapter 16.
Verse 30. Everybody's got your interlinear. And keep your King James open. You can follow us from that if you don't have the Greek readings. Amen. Everybody got to say amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, follow this real closely. Amen. Because man is not in control here. Paul is not in control. Amen. That prison keeper did not get convinced because of anything Paul and him had done. He said, if you stand tall and show a great testimony, you'll cause people to be saved. No, it didn't. No, it didn't. Amen. We should, even in the Old Testament, we see in certain instances where men of God stood tall and other times they didn't. Huh? One time Abraham believed God, and the next moment, amen, he goes another way. Huh? Yeah. And who is that? Elijah? Amen. Called down fire. Amen. And stood up against all those false prophets. No, instance, a woman comes to him and says, I'm going to have your head. And he takes, what's the difference? What's the difference? But the difference is what God causes you to do. Amen. Huh? Basically, we're programmed to be depraved. In the second instance, he just did what the depravity did. The depravity. Elijah got out of there. Huh? In the other instance, God overruled. But it overruled his depravity and caused him to stand tall. Now, it doesn't tell you that in the Old Testament. Right. It doesn't tell us that in the law. It doesn't tell us that. Amen. In these other writings, but when you get to our gospel, you see that God is in control. Yeah, right. You see that when you walk in right, it's because God's using you. When you talk in right, it's because God's using you. When you stand tall, it's because God has caused you to stand tall. Because if He doesn't, you will do and act just as depraved as you are.
Yeah, that's it. Hallelujah. That's right.
Amen. That's the difference. Amen. So what about Paul? Because there were times that Paul fell, and if God hadn't intervened, when those doors on Paul would have been out of there. Oh, yes. Huh? So you have to understand these things. So the focus should not be on Paul and company. The focus should be upon God.
Yes.
Amen. And that this is God's eternal plan that He's working out. And we must view salvation like that. Because if you view salvation like that, then you will view life like that. Mm-hmm. Amen. Isn't it better to view life with God in control?
Yeah.
Amen. Do you actually want to be in control? Do you actually want to be a determinant of the things that happen to you on a daily basis? Mm-hmm. I don't. I want God in control.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. So God is in control here. And as we look at this, amen, we're going to see. I'm going to bring in a little grammar, and y'all just bear with me a little bit. You see, if you don't exegete these scriptures yourself, if you don't go into the essence of it, you're going to either do one thing, you're going to read from whatever translation you have,
mm-hmm.
then you're going to make an assessment of that, or you're going to get a commentary. You're going to read from that. You're going to make an assessment based upon that.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. But there's another way.
Yeah.
Listen to me.
Yeah.
It's called exegesis.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I interpreted the Bible through three aspects. Historical, grammatical, and contextual.
Yeah.
Contextual, that means you read the whole volume of what's there in a contextualized form. Not jump on one or two verses. Pastor used to say, that's the most dangerous thing you can ever do.
Right.
Mm. Reach up and grab a verse out of somewhere.
Yeah.
You run on down the line with that thing. You don't know what you've grabbed.
That's
Amen.
It.
And then, historically speaking, you must know from what part of the Bible you are reading.
Yes.
Amen. In this case, we're in Acts, and we're talking about Paul. No way are you going to go and Bible and take some scriptures that Paul is involved in and prove a man's decision and choice and free will of men. Uh-huh. You won't do it.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Amen.
And so as we look at this,
glory,
we see that the mover and the shaker here is the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Amen. Who caused the earthquake? God. Hmm?
Yes, sir. Yes, it is.
Who caused the doors to to come open?
Yes, it is.
God.
Glory.
Who caused the chains to be loose. God. The earthquake didn't do it. God. God did it. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And so, following the litany of things here, yeah, when you get down to salvation, who caused the eyes of the prison keeper to be opened? God.
Yeah.
It wasn't Paul. It wasn't because of what they did. All right, verse 30. Everybody got it? In the end, you'll say amen.
Amen.
All right. Elder, read it.
Okay.
Read it slowly.
Okay. Acts 16:30,
mm-hmm,
Greek text. And leading forward them outside said,
mm-hmm,
sirs, what me beholds it to do that I may be saved?
Now, here we have the Greek, oh my God, we have a Greek verb here. I got to go to the grammar here because in order to depart from it and to show what's actually happening, amen, and be authoritative in it, we must go to the grammar.
Mm-hmm.
What is read here in the King James, it says, what must I do to be saved? This is boldly.
Oh.
Here, in following the text, said that I may be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Follow me here.
Uh-huh.
You have the Greek verb, phroto. Phroto.
Mm-hmm.
It is an indicative aorist.
Mm-hmm.
It is a subjunctive aorist. Mm-hmm. It's a subjunctive aorist. Amen. The subjunctive mood deals with probabilities. The aorist tense deals with a past completed action. Here, follow me here slowly. We have a past completed probability. I know we don't talk like that.
I know.
We don't talk like that.
We don't talk like that, no.
Because in the essence of our communicating and interfacing, it is on the basis of manifestation.
That's it.
Follow me now.
Yes.
So anything is a probability in manifestation is something that is not determined.
Mm-hmm.
Follow me here. I'm going to go real slow. Anything that is a probability,
mm-hmm,
is basically dealing with something that has not been determined.
Yes.
So I might go over to Canada tomorrow or next week. I may do this, I may do that.
Yes.
When it is expressed, there is an inference there that it is not determined.
Right.
But here we have a past completed probability. And though we don't talk like that, and we don't interface like that,
right,
in manifestation, the Holy Spirit, amen, has the privilege to do so. And so we have a past completed probability because we have the aorist tense here.
Right.
And so this would read, what must I do that I may be having been saved?
Maybe
have been. Now we can't speak like that, but the Holy Spirit can.
Yeah.
Because what you have in the probability mode is manifestation. And manifestation, we have a probability, but in the essence of how this is written, we do not have just a probability. We have the essence of a probability that has already occurred.
Right. Hallelujah.
And so the aorist tense speaks to the fact that God had already determined that this prison keeper was saved because he chose and elected him in eternity.
Yes. Oh.
That's right.
Thank God. Yes. Glory to God.
That's right.
My friend.
Glory. Yes.
One day you woke up.
Yes.
And light came on.
Come on.
Oh my Lord. That's not the day you were saved. That's the day you realize you were saved. If the light comes on, it comes on to those whom God chose in eternity.
Glory to God.
You must understand that. And take that thing down into life too. Sometimes we stay up all night long toiling with something and worrying about something. That has already gone down. Say, Pastor, are you out of your mind? No, 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 no. Listen, listen. That which is actualized, and we will deal with this in a conference, is according to the creed. There's a difference between actualization. That is when something is actually brought into existence. And manifestation. That is when that which exists is revealed.
Right. Glory. Yes.
There's a big difference. There's a big difference.
Yes. Glory to God.
And all things touching life. Everything touching life.
Everything. Thank you.
Everything touching this life.
Yes.
Is in the manifestation mode.
Yes, it is.
It is being revealed. But it must be revealed according to what has been actualized by the creed.
Glory. That's right. Thank you. That's right. Yes, Lord.
And so manifestation has to follow the decree.
Yes. Glory to God.
Now this was planned. What we're reading in eternity.
Glory.
This is not happenstance. And we must understand that. Now let's go to verse 2. Oh God, look at that clock. Let's go to verse 31.
In the Greek, Pastor?
In the Greek.
Amen.
Well, let's see. Read it in the King James and then read it in the Greek. So we can do some comparison.
Yeah.
And we're not here to beat up on the King James.
Amen.
Any translation.
That's it.
Don't you want to know what the Bible is actually conveying?
That's right. Amen.
Rather than what they say is conveying. I tell you, when you get to the point where you actually understand what the Bible is actually teaching and saying, it will bring joy and peace, security and stability to your mindset and to your thinking. Because you're not going on the basis of what they said.
Right.
You're going on the basis of what the scriptures say.
Yes, amen. Yes. Glory to God.
All right, verse 30, read.
Verse 30.
And
brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved?
To be having been saved. Now, verse 31.
And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And thou shalt be saved and thy house.
And that's what is preached.
Yes, it is.
All over that you must believe. You must believe. And it messes them up. I've got a document coming out in a couple of weeks. And the name of the document, and I want everybody to read it. It is about, and we will put it on the website also. So what about the salvation of the infant? Incompetent and ignorant.
Amen.
Because here you have three cases.
Yep.
Well, basically, they are not going to what?
Believe.
Believe.
That's it. Come on.
Do we rule out the infant? The incompetent? You know, those whose minds are not as our minds are. an ignorant. That person that's way up in the boomstick somewhere, I'm not talking about in the hills of Virginia, but I mean on the other part of the world, way back up in the jungle somewhere. And of course, they've said, well, God will make him know this so he can make a decision. You see, you got to start stretching things, huh? You got to start to make up things, amen, when you don't write the divide this Bible. All right, let's go to the Greek there. Are you with me this morning?
I'm all with it. Verse 31?
Yes.
Verse 31, Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus and shalt be saved thou and the household of thee.
All right. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus and thou shalt be saved and the household of thee. And again, even in the lineal.
That's it, yeah.
Bring it out. Yes.
Now I'm left with no choice here but to go to the grammar.
Grammar. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Yeah.
And they say it, which is ephay epon. And they say it. Here we have the word pistivon, pistison, pistipson.
Hmm?
Up here they have translated it. Believe. Follow me closely now. Because even in the English, the imperative mood is a what?
Command.
It's a command.
Come on with it.
But here we have the aorist tense. We have a past completed command. And if you were to convey this exactly like a past completed command, Paul said, didn't say believe, he said believed. A command. Believed.
Believed.
Which is a command. And a command, basically, when you believe because you have been commanded to believe. You didn't wake up one day and all of a sudden you got smart. Now your friend out there is still, you know, you're smarter than your neighbor. I forgot about that. But of course, they're not going to put it in there like that. They're not going to say believe. Because we don't talk like that. But when you're interpreting this, you must see the eternal aspect that by decree, the jailer had already believed. And he was commanded in manifestation to mirror that which had been decreed. When you confess with your mouth, you do so because you have been commanded to confess with your mouth. When you believe with your heart, you believe because you have been commanded to believe with your heart. Salvation is no incident, no accident. Salvation is by design.
Hallelujah.
Oh my God.
Glory to God. Yes. Hallelujah.
So he said, believe.
Right. Amen.
Believe.
Thank God.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He had been commanded to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in manifestation of that which he had done and had occurred And that is, he had been chosen and elected of God, amen, and decreed to believe. And that's when his belief was actualized, but it was manifested here. And this is why Paul said, believed. Now, the Greek scholars don't want to deal with this.
No.
Oh, no. Because if it was like it is written here, believe, I mean, you says to me, believe, and then this would happen, amen. Then it would not have, you would not have a past completed command here. So it's not based upon what you do. And of course, the Greek word, sophisi, here is the word saved. It is future indicative. It's in the passive voice. What is the future indicative mood is a fact. The future tense, everybody knows the future tense. If that is something that's going to happen in the future. How do you have a future fact?
Oh, my God.
The only way you can have a future fact, it has to be tied to the decree of God. Amen. Only way you can guarantee that something is going to happen is that, amen, it is tied to the decree of God. You can say, I'm going to do so-and-so. I'm going to do this. And we say it all the time. We don't, that's, they're not really future indicatives. These are, it's because you say you're going to do something doesn't mean you're going to do it, does it? No, it doesn't. No. No, something, you may have the best intention in the world of doing that. Something comes along and derails you. How many times did that happen to me? We think we have agendas and we have to change them all the time, don't we?
All the time.
Which means what? Which means we don't really have an agenda.
Amen.
If you got to change, that thing, huh?
Amen.
We operate, we live, we move at the pleasure of God.
Amen.
So this thing is not about what the jailer wanted. Wasn't. You didn't get saved. Give me 5 minutes and I'm down. You didn't get saved because you wanted to be the saved. Because you desired to be saved. And I know that goes against everything that's out there. Just about everything that's out there that's being taught. Let's take the emphasis off ourselves and put it on God. It is God's doings. It is God's will. It is God's work. Use the vernacular, this is God's show. Not ours. What input do we have? The input we are assigned.
That's it.
You don't determine nothing, my friend. You don't cause nothing. He said, but Pastor, don't teach that because now you're teaching people they don't have to do nothing. No, we're not. Listen to what we're saying. The things that you do, you're caused to do.
That's right. That's it.
See, even when I mess up, why, sure. You are depraved. We are all depraved creatures. Depravity is designed to mess up.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
So don't focus on the time you mess up, which is just a design of depravity. Focus on the time when God intervenes in your depravity and calls you to do the right thing, amen, that is the opposite of what your depraved nature calls for you to do. You see me walking like God's using me. Talking like God's using me. If I do anything that's good, it's because God has intervened and overruled my depravity.
That's it.
And he does it a lot, doesn't he? Huh? Oh, we just thinking that he does it a lot, doesn't he? Huh? When you act nice, God has overruled your depraved, old, nasty nature. We do something good, we tend to pat ourselves on the back. Oh, my God. Huh? No. If you're thinking right, it's because God, amen, is working within you. You have pleasant, righteous thoughts, it's because God has put them there. Because the only thing that you are capable of thinking and doing is just the opposite of that. And we must understand that. So don't go to any passage of Paul trying to teach any form of free will, good free will decision making on the part of men for salvation. That is the most ludicrous thing. And if you're going, if anybody you're going to quote, Paul, you can't even go over into Acts and quote him. And what you are quoting, it is opposition to what he has written in his epistles. It won't happen because everything that Paul wrote, amen, he was inspired, amen. It was the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, who is the author of it. And Paul, amen, was only the delivery boy. This is important.
Hallelujah.
You got to get salvation right so you can get life right.
That's it.
I'm through, but we got. I mean, this week, what else happened this week? You know, in you pick up the news, and my God, you over in Iraq, you know, instead of less people dying, more people dying. Huh? In the last week. Gasoline jumped 15 cents a gallon.
Yeah. $3.
Won't be long, $3. Look at the news, you see death, you see destruction. You see people losing their jobs, and the prices of things going up. You see, the foundations of companies that we thought that will never be in trouble, in deep trouble.
Yes.
You see layoffs in municipalities.
Yes.
And people in Washington, telling you that they can control it and do something about it. And it doesn't matter whether it's Democrat or Republican. It doesn't matter. Not one bit. Not one bit does it matter. And there we are looking in to our leaders. Who is your leader?
Jesus.
Huh?
Hallelujah.
I hope it's not the people in Washington. Who is your leader?
Jesus. Praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
It's not about somebody coming up with some solution to this. If God decrees a thing, can it be changed?
Cannot.
Now the next question is, and I'm down. Why would God decree this? Why would God just didn't make things all? nice and fair and beautiful. And why didn't God just solve all of our problems? Well, he has, but he just hasn't done it. He hasn't done it in this sphere. He has. See, God's plan is to take all this away. So he takes the problem away by taking the whole scene away. We read prophecy and we know prophecy. In prophecy, I'm just going to talk about this country. Not mentioned. Doesn't seem possible, does it? No, doesn't seem possible. I mean, look around these United States of America. The greatest military, economic, and political power in the world, not even mentioned. We're either ignorant of history or we have a tendency to ignore history. Where's mighty Rome? Where's Babylon? Where are all of the great powers? What happened to Persia? What happened to Greece? Huh? We're not thinking. My friend, put your trust and your hope in the essence of what God has done for you eternally. Our safety and security is in the eternal sphere in Christ, not with what's going on in the earth. Finally, Paul writes to the Colossians. And he basically tells them in the third chapter. Having been risen in Christ, are those who are risen in Christ, seek the above things. Seek the above things where Christ sits on the right hand of God. And then in case you didn't understand him, he says what? Prioritize the things above. Where I just got through talking about, where Christ sitting on the right hand of God, he said that's where you place your priority. Ephesians 1 and 2, we aren't listening. And then in case you still don't understand, he says, not all things on the earth. What about that we can't understand? Hard of hearing or comprehending or what? What is it that makes us deaf tone there? He's talking about prioritizing. Now somebody's going around here and say, I'm preaching that don't care about the things of the world and things around you, and not the word is prioritized. Prioritize the things in the eternal sphere, not the things on the earth. How are we supposed to wear this world? What about that we don't understand? Your job, your pension, your position, how many execs went out the door crying, disappointed this past week and the week before? and the weeks to come. Is your life over if you lose your job, your profession, is it over? What is your life? My friend, if it's anywhere within Christ, you're going to lose it. Because one day, that job is going to go. Some of y'all looking at me funny. It doesn't matter. That pension, your 401k, all of these things are suspect. You'll reach for some money and it won't be there. It will be gone. Now, I said this one down. I'm not saying don't do the things that you should do. If you got a job, go there tomorrow. And you do the best you can. We said to the young people, go to school, get education, get everything you can get. But what we say, that's not your top priority. Don't put your ultimate trust in that thing. Be of this mindset. There's only one thing that I cannot do without, and that is Jesus. Put your hope and your trust,
amen,
and your confidence in Him. Yes, Paul said to the jailer, he said to the jail keeper, he said, believed. Because it had already been determined. And everything in life concerning you has already been determined. All you got to do is believe. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God.